Thank you for that beautiful, beautiful, special. How many of us were touched by those words? Amen? We could all identify. Amen? I want to thank also Dan and the crew for allowing, hopefully this whole thing, new setup here, works out. And, all right. There we go. Yeah, just like I said. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. And all the crew and all the kids that worked on making this possible. Amen. Basically, the wiring and the whole HDMI experience. Beautiful. Appreciate it. Isaac.
And Enoch.
And Enoch. Yeah, I seen them all getting the little hole back there. Appreciate it. And Dad actually wanted to have some fun, too, and he got back there, too. I saw him, too. So thank you for getting dirty, guys. I appreciate it. This particular PowerPoint is bilingual, so it is in Spanish and English. So today we'll learn a little bit of Spanish. And so, just in case you see something that you don't understand. Had an interesting week, and actually a couple weeks. I was telling the other day to a pastor friend that, our church has been going through some things, every church, all my three churches are going through some things. And I just, I really believe that our faith is being tested. I believe our faith is being tested, and we need to stand tall. We need to know the God that we serve. Amen. We serve an amazing God. No matter what test comes at us, we have to continue to believe. And that's what the topic is today, or the title is Believe Today, and you will what? Help me out here. You believe today, and we will see what? See tomorrow. Creer hoy y verás mañana. All right? That's a little Spanish for y'all. I'm not going to do that the whole sermon, but that's just a little Spanish for you. Creer hoy. Creer means believe. Believe today y verás mañana. You guys know mañana, right? Seña mañana. All right. Many people believe in astronomy, or zodiac signs, and they wake up or they go into the shopping center or whatever and see those little magazines, those little, booklets with the, what is Aries today, minus Aries, or Aries, and what is Aries today, and who am I in love with, and what's my luck, and you read it, you see them all the time, right? And you see people just wanting to feed themselves to believe that this stuff is actually true, or real, or something that they can count on, right? We've seen that. There's a lot of people out in the world, musicians and artists and celebrities, they just bank on this information given by I don't know who, but supposedly it's the stars. Okay, so there's some people that believe in that. Other people believe in the United States of America and what it stands for. And I'm saying it sarcastically, but I'm also saying it with pride. Okay, I do believe in our country in the sense of what it stands for and all that stuff, and I love America, but a lot of people believe in that, and that is their only core belief. They believe that this country will, liberate and stand for every word that is in the Constitution. Yet our courts are filled with so much stuff that is, goes against what the core of our Constitution really stands for. And so we're constantly battling, and just so I can have faith in my God. Right, and what I believe in, and what the freedoms I have, and so, but people put their faith and their belief in a country, whatever country it may be, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, whatever it is, they put their beliefs in that. Other people, they believe in the outer space stuff. Okay, they believe in aliens, right? That there are some type of out there, there's other beings watching over us, and these beings, they come and visit us, and they construct beautiful buildings or whatever you want to say, pyramids and Aztec, and they worship them, and they have some type of communication with us, and so they believe in this. We've seen it, right? You see all the conspiracies what is the area, what is it, 51, you know, and all the conspiracies that there is something out there that the government is holding back, right? There's something out there out of our whatever it is, out of our minds. And so we need to believe in this, that, you know, there's something out there. Some of us, or a couple years back and just recently as well, we believe in change. We believe in these leaders that say, hey, there's going to be change coming, right? Or, hey, we need to make America great again. And so they have these slogans and they have these sayings, and they march on saying that we need to, you know, do this and need to do that. And we put our faith, we put our beliefs in this person, thinking that they're going to accomplish these things that they promised to the people. And so people believe, they actually believe in these leaders. And so, once again, you know, whether it doesn't matter from which side you're on, people put their whole belief in this and what is leaders and people in the world. You know, that's very true. Some people put their belief, they bank their beliefs in education. The more educated you are, the more money's going to be in your pocket, right? Right, supposedly. Or the more educated you are, the more woke you are. The more educated you are, the more you can, you know, have these intellectual conversations and figure out things and be able to, you know, intellectually be able to be one people and all that. And so people bank on education like it's the last resort. They believe that education is important. Now, I'm not saying it's not, but this is what people believe. People believe that it is vital for you to have education. Okay, and they put the belief in the whole system, the whole education system. So that is also a belief. And I believe that as we continue on, people will make up more stuff in which we can believe in. It is the times that we live in. For example, people believe that one day gas will be $1.81. Okay. when I did this particular sermon, gas was $3.11. In Texas, okay? When I left Texas, gas was almost $2. It was like $1.90-something, almost $2. And when I came up here, it was $3.50. I almost died. I was like, what? And so people believe in gas prices, that it makes it tells us what the world and economies, and they put their faith in gas. I don't know why they put their belief in gas. You know, I worked in for a long time in heating oil company, and we always looked at the price of oil. And we thought, you know, I banked on the price of oil because that's how I got business in, you know, so that people can buy heating oil. And so, yeah, I put my belief in oil sometimes. I was like, man, I need to make some money this month. Oil, come on, oil, drop, price drop. And as soon as oil dropped, of course, all, you know, things happened, you know, miraculously calls came in, people wanting heating oil. And so people put their belief in this. It's very true. What is to believe? What is to believe? Before I start giving definitions, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much because we believe that you are our God, our creator, our savior, our redeemer, our rock, our comforter. You are our king. You are everything to us, Father. And sometimes we forget. And so today, Father, I just like to for us to not only on your Sabbath to remember the Sabbath, but also to remember the creator of the Sabbath, to remember our God, our creator, that is thou, Father. We love you. We thank you. And we just ask you for guidance in this talk today. In the name of Jesus, amen. What is to believe? And so sometimes I like to go through definitions. What is to believe? Well, to believe, according to the Internet Dictionary, is to accept something as true and feel sure of that truth or the truth of. Okay. So it's to accept something that as true. That is what's to believe. As a matter of fact, believe is a verb. Okay. It's an action. You're taking action and believing in something. As we've seen earlier in the slides, people believe in a lot of things, right? People believe in a lot of things. And so it's an action. You take action on that. Some people will, you know, that believe in the aliens, they have a YouTube channel and they will talk about everything about aliens. Some people that like to believe in crude oil. They have channels on crude oil if you want to know. Whatever it is in this, I'm pretty sure, whatever in today's society, if you have a belief and you Google it or you go on YouTube and see it, it will show up. Somebody also believes in whatever you want to believe in. Okay? And so what is to believe? Again, accept something as true and feel sure of that truth. Now, belief and faith in the Bible and the Word of God goes hand in hand. So I want to kind of also give you the definition of faith. Okay, faith is to complete trust or confidence in someone or something. It's complete trust. They almost call it blind faith, right? It's complete trust. It doesn't mean it's not just accepting, but it's complete trust and your confidence in that, in something or in someone. And so faith, it says that. What does the Word of God say about faith, though? The Word of God says in Hebrews 11:1. Now, this is a very poetic way of thinking of what faith is. It's not the definition, but it's a poetic way. It's a manner that here in Hebrews, they describe what faith is. And now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, amen? It is a substance. It's a beautiful way to kind of give us a picture of what faith really embodies, right? Because when we talk about, especially in Hebrews 11, you're talking about people that put their faith in whom? In God. In God's promises, in God's word, right? And so here he's giving a depiction of what that really means in us, to us, you know? And so, again, it goes a little bit hand in hand with the first definition, which is to complete trust and confidence in someone or something. Very well. In John 14:1, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, you know, and as I was studying this out when I was younger in college, John 14:1, Jesus is sitting down with the disciples. The disciples are worried to death, literally. They're worried to death because Jesus keeps talking about death, okay? And they're like, what is going on with this Jesus? Why is he talking about death? Why is he talking about that he has to go away for a while? What's going on with Jesus? And so Jesus has compassion over them, I imagine. He feels their fear. He feels like he needs to answer this question. And he says to them, listen, what does he say in there, 14:1? He says, let not your hearts be what? Troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. This is Jesus saying that he is what? That he is God, right? And he's putting himself in the same level of God because he says, you believe in God since you were little kids. And as you grow up, you always believe in God. You believe in Yahweh, the one that gives you the breath of life. And just like you believe in him and that he gives you the breath of life, that he is life. Because remember, he was talking about death. Now that you know that he is God and he gives you the breath of life, then also believe in me. I am the life. Right? And so, again, you know, I love this text because it actually really resonates with my heart. It resonates with when I am troubled, when I am depleted, when I feel that there's hopelessness. Sometimes I just feel hopeless. I'm just being honest with you. I feel hopeless. I can't do nothing about certain situations. But then I remember this verse. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You know, Omar, I know that it sounds a little scary that, you know, you might see this happen and that happen and all these things, you know, playing all at the same time. But don't let your heart be troubled, Omar. You believe in God. You've believed in God since you were born. You know it. You know he knew his name before before you were even born. He put it in you, right? He put his commandments, his word in you. So Jesus tells us, believe also in me. And we struggle with that belief. Sometimes we rather believe in what we see, right? We rather believe in what's secure. We rather believe in what we can say, well, this is A and this is B, so it must equal C, or 1 + 1 = 2, and so on. And we want to believe in what is tangible. We want to believe in what's tangible. But what about the spirit? What about in here? What about up here, right? What about that? How important is that? Well, in Mark 8:22-26, we have a beautiful story there that I kind of went over in my last sermon. And that particular story was of a blind man that was brought to Jesus. And this blind man that was brought to Jesus, you know, he, I can only imagine as I read different, you know, parts of the stories and different other, you know, I can only imagine this man being brought to Jesus. And I, at some point, I feel like he was pushed by his friends. Have you ever been pushed by your friends to do something? You know, maybe in high school or in college, you know, like you felt or you felt some type of pressure. Like, listen, man, you got to go through this. And I could just imagine them talking crazy about Jesus. Hey, you got to seek Jesus. You got to see Jesus. And they're like, come on, man. And so they kind of bring him. It says they bring him. And that word that they use in the Greek is actually kind of like almost like they just deliberately just push them towards Jesus. Like, Jesus, take care of this, you know. And so they bring him to Jesus. And what happens? This man, he, at first, Jesus takes him apart and says, listen, man, let me see if I can help you out a little bit here. And he puts a little bit of dirt and he puts it in his eyes and all that saliva, all that stuff. And, you know, we kind of went over what that meant. He did the basic healing that everybody else can do. And so at that particular moment, the man can see partially, right? The man can see partially. And sometimes that happens in our walk where, you know, we ask Jesus, Jesus, I need to see some light. I've been seeing too much darkness that surrounds me. And there's too many problems. What's going on, Jesus? I feel like I just got over one problem to get into another one. And so this man was going through that, right? He was going through that. He's like, wait a minute. I mean, I could see some trees. I can see some, you know, I could see a little something. And then Jesus says, okay. And he puts his hands over him. And then what happens? The man, all of a sudden, he can see completely. He's completely, you know, healed from his blindness. He can actually see 20/20, right? Beautiful. I wish I can see 20/20. I don't know for let's see. I see a couple of people that have glasses, right? It's really not nice when we don't have our glasses. It's like we feel helpless sometimes when we don't have our glasses. Try driving at night without glasses when you're farsighted. Okay? Horrible, horrible. We don't see at all. It's very difficult. Right. And I'm telling you, I've been through miracles because I follow the lights of other cars. That's how I get by. But, you know, God is good because I survived all that. Talk about accidents in a minute. This man, he was able to see again. And I really believe as I brought you through the process of how, why and how that all transpired. It's a process. To believe, it sometimes takes time. It takes time to believe. But it shouldn't, because when we're talking about God, that's a different story. God has proved himself in the past. He proves himself in the present. And he will always prove himself in the future. Amen? He's always there. He's always done it. And so this man was able to see. And this particular story, I love it as well, because the disciples were also able to witness and see and believe. Okay, now, again, Exodus 4:5, we're going to talk about some verses in regards to belief. It says, this, says the Lord, is so that they may what? They may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, okay, God of Isaac and Jacob has appeared to you. Okay, so God has appeared to all those, but also to us. He appears to us. When I was younger, I had a dream. I had asked, not a Martin Luther King dream, but I did have a dream as well. And I had, right before my dream, I prayed to God. I said, God, show me, what do you want to do with my life? I mean, you know, I want to be a millionaire. I want to have, you know, drive this, and I want to have this, and I want to have that, and I want to be respected by my community. I want to help other people get out of, you know, being poor and all this other stuff. And I said, but what do you want in my life? And I remember that afternoon, I went to sleep crying because I was really desperate to know what God wanted in my life. I was only 26 years old. I had a baby that was born sick, and I had another one coming along the way, and you know, I still had a mortgage to pay. I had a whole bunch of responsibility. I had my whole in-laws, my family living with me, and I was responsible for everything and everybody. That's the way I felt, at least. And so Jesus comes and God shows me this dream in which I was speaking in front of people. Now, did I ever think I was gonna be a pastor? No, I thought that was something else. I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be a speaker in front of people. Well, yeah, never in my mind I imagined that this was. But I believed in that dream, and that dream did take me somewhere, and that's where I'm at. I am today. Amen. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, "And they rose early in the morning. They went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in whom? In the Lord your God, so ye shall be established. Believe in his prophets, so ye shall prosper.'" And so this was something that was basically said in front of Judea, the whole God's people. And he says, you have to believe. And so as a pastor, one of the things that I want people to do, sometimes I feel like I want my people to believe like I believe, Lord. But then sometimes I remember I fail just like everybody else fails. My faith withers sometimes as well. My belief sometimes it goes through certain levels and sometimes it goes into a ditch or a pit and it just happens to be that I too sometimes need to be reminded and I need to believe as well. Okay. Another thing is in Isaiah 43:10 says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord." You are my what? Witnesses. You are my witnesses. What does that mean? What does it mean that you're my witnesses? How many of us have witnessed one time in their life at least one miracle? One miracle. No? Yes? You missed one miracle? How about this? How many of even though you maybe didn't see the miracle, how many of has experienced a miracle for themselves? Amen? Okay. Now, I want to tell you this. You may have not or seen a miracle. I had a teacher, a professor that told me, "Listen, pastor," we were all pastors at that time. We were all student pastors. And she goes, "Listen, I do not need to have a miracle happen in front of me for me to believe in God." And I was like, "What? That's crazy. How can you not believe in a miracle?" And I was like, "But shouldn't you want to see a miracle?" Like in my mind, I couldn't understand where she was coming from. I was like, "What you mean? What you mean you can't? You don't need a miracle to? How can you then be a witness?" You know? And then in my mind, that kept playing over and over again. Well, a couple months later, she ended up with cancer on her nose. And it was skin cancer. And it was pretty bad. You know, it was pretty bad. She feared a little bit because I don't know what was the degree of that cancer, but she was a little bit afraid. And so I went in her office because I needed help on my paper. And I said, "Ma'am, before we start, can I pray with you? You know, like I see that she had like this big bandage on her nose and everything." I said, "Can I pray for you?" And she goes, "You know, you're the only student that have come to ask me to pray for me." And I said, "Yeah, I want to pray for you." And I prayed for her. And she missed out about a week of school for whatever reason. When she came back without the bandage and the cancer was gone. And I said to her, "Miss," I said, "was it a miracle?" And she says, "I think so." And so she had her first miracle happen to her. She believed. She was a witness. It says here, "Declares the Lord and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me." And so this is something that we need to take note here, because even though he's talking to Isaiah, we also have been chosen. You and I have been chosen to be witnesses of something amazing. Now, I believe because I've seen transformation in people, not just miracles where maybe something miraculous, you know, somebody was sick and then they get well again or something to that extent. I've seen transformation in people, I believe, for various reasons. But I also believe because he chose me, he chose you, he chose us to be his witnesses. Wow. Where does this take us? Let's see. Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told." My friends, this particular verse right here is not only a statement, but it's also a promise. I don't know about you, but I am waiting to see when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, okay, in the latter days falls upon his church, and we will see things that you'll say, this is amazing. Now, I've seen things that pretty amazing, but in a consistent basis, I have not seen it. Not in our churches. But I've seen amazing work. So I know there's something about to happen. I know that the world is so intense right now. Things are so, like, in what I call it is the red, you know, like a red bubble ready to burst. That it's just, honestly, I really believe that that latter rain, the Holy Spirit, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, will fall upon his church, and we will be able to see the work of God in these latter days. Okay? Psalm 78:32 says, in spite of all this, they still sinned. Despite his wonders, they did not believe. Okay? Now, this is the opposite, and I brought this on purpose because sometimes we look at all the wonders that God has done in our lives, in the lives of others, in the lives of people that have given up their lives for what they believe. And God has worked wonders, and yet somehow, some way, we find ourselves sometimes not believing. It's like we give up too early. It's like we give up before the race is even finished. And so we have to be careful not to be, not to lose faith, not to lose belief. Right? The time is ticking, you know, and so there is, right now, how many of us here are Seventh-day Adventists, baptized Seventh-day Adventists? How many of us? Would I say the whole congregation, right? Plainly? Even if you come and you haven't baptized yet, but you're working on that, right? And so, but all of us are Seventh-day Adventists. We all should know by now, most of us, and I'm not calling out on anyone. I call out myself before I call out anybody. But we should all know eschatology, you know, that we're waiting for the second coming of Christ. That's what Seventh-day Adventist, that's what the Adventist part of our name means. We know about the Sabbath. We know these truths. You know, how many of us know the 28 doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? No? Still working on that? Yeah. Yeah. So how many of you know at least five that are different, the five that are different from other Protestant churches? How many can say, I know five at least? Okay, amen. How many can say, I know three differences? At least three, right? We know three, amen? You know three? Okay. My friends, in order for us to continue to believe, it is so important. It is so important for us to take the time. As I know that, and I say this because I know personally, like, sometimes I think that there's not enough time in the day. But we do have to go back and study and continue studying, like Peter says, continue to refresh our minds. It is so important to continue to refresh our minds. You know, I was telling my son the other day that we were driving to go do a little hoop, and I told him that. I said, man, Jomar, I really need to go back. And I want to memorize a book of the Bible. Like, you know, pick a book. And I just want to memorize the book. And, you know, I was thinking about Andrews and all these are our leaders from the past and all that. And I was like, man, these guys knew, like parts of the Bible, like the whole thing. And I know personally friends that know scripture, like word for word, you know, with the yeas and the thous and all that, even with the old language. And I said, and it's not impossible. And then my son, he just shows off. He goes, yeah, well, in school, we're learning, you know, like all this scripture, you know, by heart. And I'm like, whatever. I said, good for you, buddy. And so I said, no, I said, amen to that. Amen to that. But the truth is that, you know, in the time that we're, as I show this clock, you know, and aspiring down time, I mean, I thought it was just Monday the other day. You see what I'm saying? Like, time is passing by so fast. Now, I don't know if it's because I'm older, you know, and maybe as you get older, you know, in the next week I'll be 42. Okay. Just hint there, you know, 42, April 12th. I mean, you know, but, I like carrot cake. You know, somebody around here said they were going to make me some carrot cake. No, but, honestly, I look at time and it's just like, it just goes like in an instant. And I feel that it's happening because of so many things that now bombard us on a daily basis. You know, when I'm looking at our friends in church and how they're sick, some of our friends are sick and all that, I'm like, man, I wanted to call somebody the other day, and I'm like, or talk to face with someone the other day, and I'm like, and I'm okay, I need to make time for this, I need to make time for that, and no matter how much my wife tells me that I need to continue planning out my calendar and my week, it's just I still don't find enough time to do everything that I want to do between school and all this other stuff. So I can only imagine you guys going through the same thing as well. But one thing we need to make sure is that we find time to spend with God. That is something that is very important. There's this saying in Spanish that says, cuando hables de Jesús, habla de un Cristo que hace y no solo de un Cristo que hizo. When you talk about Jesus, talk about a Christ who does and not just about a Christ that did. How do we make that with this short time that we have? Okay, how do we make that a reality in our lives is the question for today. How do we make a reality in our lives of a Jesus that not just did things in the past, but he is doing right now things in your life and the life of others? How can we make that happen? And that goes a little bit with what I was talking about the last sermon that hopefully you guys were able to see in the big screen. You know, we God has called us to serve, right? He has called us to help others and to help our community and get to know people and spread this gospel, this good news. And so when we talk about God, are we just talking about someone that was a humanitarian years ago and he helped people? Or are we talking about a God, a Christ that is alive today in my life because I'm taking the time to spend with him? Because he is evident in my life. He is relevant in my life. He's not just somebody that did something. He's somebody that is doing something continuously in my life. God has promised and he fulfilled his promise. Now part of that covenant is for us to do our part as well. And the only way that we're going to do our part is we spend time with him. And in spending time with him, get excited about him, right? Get excited about him. Say, you know what? Now I need to go and share this good news with others. It's difficult. It's difficult to share good news when you see somebody that is suffering. I'm not going to lie to you. I wish I can touch them and their person be healed. It's difficult to look at somebody, pray for somebody, and their last breath, you just see it come out of their mouth, and that's it. And you just hope, you bank on the hope that they said yes to Christ. It's difficult. A couple years ago, actually, let me read. I won't go there. I'll save that for another time. A couple years ago, actually, this month that passed, March 11th, was my one-year anniversary here in Brewster. Thank you for this wonderful year. I really appreciated it. But that same time, 3 years ago, I started ministry in Texas. And 3 months in, after the honeymoon stage was really short, it was like a month of honeymoon stage where everybody's smiling and saying nice things to you. And then February was like everybody bombarded me with the problems of the church. I would say the conference lied to me, telling me that the churches were okay because they were just looking at tithes. But here, the church was not okay. Here, the church was not okay. And so as all these problems bombarded me, and then I'm not going to lie to you too, I had my own problems, okay? My own problems with my family. And it was just like one thing after another. And I went out for a drive to go pick up my son. And thank God I picked up a different car. And as I go out for the drive, something told me, put your seatbelt on. So I did put the seatbelt on. And as I put my seatbelt on and I take off, my mind so worried about everything and everybody and just felt that, I don't know, just the moment I just blanked out as I was driving, a voice said, Omar. And I woke up and I looked to my right and I see myself passing the stop sign. Now, I know where I, at that moment, I knew where I was because I was heading towards the intersection. cars going about 70 in Texas. If it says 70, you go about 80 and you're okay. And if you go a little faster, it's okay too. So I didn't see any vehicles coming from this end of the road, and there was a road straight ahead. So in my mind, I just said, I'm just going to hit the gas. Not the brake. I'm going to hit the gas. Something told me, hit the gas. The moment that I hit the gas, that V8 kicked in. I love that Ford Explorer because I got hit. As you can see, he barely missed me. That V8 kicked in beautifully, and he barely hit me. If that was me, I probably would have suffered a little bit, right? Maybe, I don't know. And if I didn't have my seatbelt, I would have suffered a lot. I would have went out the window. He hit me at 80 miles an hour, roughly 80 miles an hour. As you can see, all the airbags, and I don't show the inside of the vehicle, but unfortunately, I got cut. That was me lying in the medical room. I had to take a selfie. I was like, really, Omar? Really? You know, police officer was like, he followed me the whole way through and all that, and that's another miracle story there. But I just looked at myself and said, Omar, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And this is not a good look, Omar. Not a good look at all. I have a beautiful scar because of it. It's not a design, you know, it's a scar. And that was only 4 years ago, about around this time. And I told myself, I said, Omar, never again. Never again. Now, do I believe? Yes, I believe. Because there had to be a reason why God let me live that day. I should have been, if I would have taken the black little Mitsubishi Eclipse, you guys know that's a little two-door vehicle, okay? And at that fast, I would have eaten that door for dinner. Okay, I probably wouldn't have been alive to tell you that story. But the purpose, the reason why I share this today is because I had a friend call me that same day. And did I put him here? Yeah. I had a friend call me that day. And let me see. Okay. I had a friend call me that day. And he was like, Omar, I'm struggling. And I need to talk to you because I know that you believe. What are you talking about? He goes, I know that you've gone through death, through someone that has passed away in your life. Your son has passed away. And how do you believe in God? That was a question he asked me. How do you believe in God? How can I believe in God? And so I told him, I said, dude, man, I wasn't even going to pick up the phone. I just got out of the emergency room and I was able to walk home. Well, drive home and walk to my bed and walk out alive from that emergency room. The police officer didn't even believe by the hit of the car that it was me who was driving the vehicle. He told me, he says, man, I've never seen a vehicle get hit so hard and go across over 100 feet and land in a ditch and the person still be okay, still be alive. Like, I've seen a lot of car accidents, but I don't know how you're walking today. You don't even have a broken leg or anything. And he gave me my ticket, you know. He's like, I had to make sure that that it was you. I was like, yeah, it was me. He was like, here's your ticket. But something definitely, he goes, I don't believe in God, but something definitely protected you. And I said, well, to tell you the truth, I'm a pastor. And yeah, God allowed me to live so that you can witness, so that you can believe that there is a God. It's funny, I met that same police officer a while back, a couple months later. And we had a great conversation. But my friend called me up, and that's what I told him. And he kind of chuckled, and he says, wow, Omar, I guess so. And I sent him that picture of me in the bed. I said, hey, man, this is me. Like, this, he let me live so I can tell you this. And he says, well, do you have anything? So I sent him some Bible studies. I said, hey, man, let me take these Bible studies with me. And he's like, I'm having a hard time, Omar, because the doctor only gave me about 6 months to live. Now, granted, he's about 38 years old, has a beautiful wife, beautiful family. I have 6 months to live, and I don't know what to believe. The cancer has spread all over my brain, and they can't do anything about it. I'm not even going to do chemo because it's not worth it. You know, I might as well just die. And then at that point, he was getting seizures more frequently. That's how they found the cancer in his brain. And I said, well, man, I can't tell you that I'm going to pray for you, but I can't tell you that you're going to be healed. But I believe in an awesome God. I believe in an amazing God that does heal. And I believe that there's a reason for all this happening. I believe that he allowed me to live to tell you today that he has a plan for you. And so I was sending the Bible studies, and we studied the first one, and he loved it. And he studied, and he ended up accepting Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He wanted to come to my church to talk and to give his testimony. A year had passed, and it was time for us to go. We had our, I forgot how many years already, 15-year high school reunion. And we had played the football and all that stuff. As you can see, he's the guy in the that's hugging me like that. And his name is Eric. And Eric was, when we were in high school, he wasn't a bully, but he held his own. He had his reasonings and stuff like that. And they kind of bullied him sometimes, but he always held his own. And I was a good friend to him. I never made fun of him, never, you know, everybody. So he told me, you're a good friend, Omar, you're a good friend. And I said, well, you know, praise God. And so I went that day because it was on Friday night that they had the actual home thing, whatever, high school reunion. And I went up there. I drove 26 hours from Texas because I couldn't find a flight. And I got there and I sat in the car. I had to pay the ticket so I can get in. But I had already prepaid the ticket, and I sat in the car waiting for him to come while I'm watching everybody just having the time of their lives, just saying hi to each other and all that. So at one point I did go in because I was like, okay, I'm thirsty. Let me get something to drink and use the bathroom. And I find myself with my friend, Eric. And I was so happy to see him. We have been talking on the phone, and he's been, through all this time, he's been up and down. You know, he accepted Christ as personal Savior, but he's been suffering. He's been getting more seizures. He's afraid to die. He's like, Omar, I haven't been a bad person. He goes, I even have buildings and I own these apartments and I let people sometimes off the hook. They don't even pay me rent. I'm not a bad person, Omar. I actually donate to the poor. I'm a veteran, Omar. I'm not a bad person. I love my country. I love my people. I'm not a bad person. And that was his biggest thing. He just didn't think he should have died. I remember the last day I spoke to him. His healed a little bit. He suffered a little bit with the depression. The seizures were getting more frequent and more frequent. And he says, Omar, I can't, man. This is so painful. You know, I don't want my wife to suffer anymore. She has to clean me up when I have seizures. She has to, you know, hold me down. I can't drive. I can't do nothing for her. I'm just useless. I'm useless to my sons and my kids. What do you tell a person? So as we were ending the conversation, I said, listen, man, I believe no matter what happens, I'll see you soon in heaven. I'll see you soon. I believe that God has a place for you and your family, and you'll be just fine, man. Don't worry about it. That night, he says, I love you, Omar. I want to go be with my wife. And he died in her arms that night. And they had a whole funeral service for him, and I was able to watch it live and all that. And I told his wife to please read our messages so she could understand what we were, you know, what he was going through at that moment, how he felt about her. But he believed. He chose to believe at the end. Jesus tells us in John 14, 27, and I finish with this. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, but let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so I bank on these words. When I go and I see my friends that are in distress or in trouble, and they think that I have some special power, some special prayer, that I'm closer to God. I said, no, I'm just like you. And sometimes I am troubled and sometimes I'm afraid, but I have to believe in the words of Christ. I have to believe in the power of God. I have to believe in the power of Christ that no matter what, if I ask, he shall give me. And if he doesn't, I have to trust. I have to bank on him that he will take care of it later on. in the day of resurrection when we see him face to face. So I want to leave this sermon with a song that has helped me to kind of, when I have trouble believing or when I have trouble to take action in my faith, it's helped me to overcome some things and just put things in perspective. It's an old song. I used to listen to it when I was a teenager, but I hopefully it'll have the same effect on you as it had in me. And just meditate in the words of this song, and then I'll close with a prayer. The song is called Promise Me. Keeps his promises, but we have to also keep ours. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for all that you do for us day in and day out. Sometimes we take it for granted, and sometimes we fall, and even though we want to stand, we just lay there desperately seeking for your hand, for your grace. And we thank you because you do lift us up, Father. We thank you because you bring us close to you and you embrace us with your grace. You embrace us with your love. Father, we know that as time continues that we're going to experience some difficulties. And we're going to have some times in which our faith is going to be tested. Our belief may be even tested as well. But help us to not forget what we've studied. Help us not to forget what you've already done for us, what you will continue to do for us. And so may we continue to put our faith in you, Father. I love you. We love you. We can't wait to see you. And so we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand so we can sing our last hymn together.
Jesus shall reign. I don't know it. I hope somebody knows it to help me out.